Open with me in your copy of God's Word to Romans chapter 8. As we've been going through the book of Romans, Paul, he has been proclaiming to us the way to heaven, or the gospel, or the Romans road, often called. We've seen that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23, and that the penalty for sin is hell and death. For the wages of sin is death, we read in Romans 6:23. We have seen that though we have sinned, we all deserve eternal separation from God. But God, He shows His love towards us, and that while we are still sinners, Jesus Christ dies for us. And so there is hope for the hopeless. There is hope for us. Salvation is this free gift that can never be taken away from us. It can only be received by faith. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The righteous, they live by faith, we've talked about. And the righteousness of God has been revealed by the law and the prophets. And faith has to be in the one and only Son of God, Jesus. We must trust and believe solely that eternal life is a gift from God, that we cannot earn it, but it can be received. This is done by confession that Jesus is Lord, and that He died for sins, and that He rose again, proving that He is God. Last week, we said that we as believers have been adopted into the family of God, by which we can call God our Father. We get legally justified just as if we had never sinned. We become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And when we become God's children, He has deposited in us the Holy Spirit so that we can live righteous lives. King Jesus will rule. He will rule forever and ever. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Verse 13 of Romans 8, Paul said that if we live according to the flesh, we will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The only way we can kill the flesh is to be led by the Holy Spirit. And we said that one way we can know that if we are heirs is and that we have the Holy Spirit, one way we can know that we have the Holy Spirit is that if we suffer with Jesus. And the glory to come will not compare to what's in store for us. We don't suffer alone, we said last week, but we suffer with Jesus. And if we suffer with Him, we will also be glorified together. And Jesus' resurrection is proof that when we believe on Him, we will also be resurrected at the end of days. For He is the resurrection and the life. And any that would call, any that would trust on Him can have their sins forgiven and live forever with Him. Well, Romans 8, picking up at verse 18, reading down to verse 25. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, We eagerly wait for it with perseverance. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word. So our big idea today, if you were alive in the 80s or 90s, you probably heard Bobby McFerrin's Jamaican-style, finger-snapping, a cappella-style singing, voice singing, "Don't Worry, Help Me Out, Church, Be..." I'm not going to sing it for you. "Don't worry, be happy." This is kind of an oversimplification of how a Christian is to walk in this life. Now, I'm not saying don't pay your mortgage and God will just take care of everything. Don't neglect your responsibilities. Now, I'm sure you've probably even heard this story before. It's been told in church pulpits from time to time. A guy, he gets on top of his house because the floodwaters are rising, and he prays out to God, "God, save me." And a person comes along in a canoe, and he says, "Jump into the canoe, the floodwaters are rising." And he says, "No, I'm waiting for God to save me." You guys heard the story before, right? And so then another boat comes along, a police motorboat comes by. He says, "Quick, get in the boat." But he refuses. He says, "I'm waiting for God to save me." And the waters continue to rise, at which finally a helicopter is above him and throws down a ladder and says, or a rope, "Quick, grab the rope." And the man says, "No, I'm waiting for God to save me." The man drowns. He gets to heaven. He asks God, "Why didn't you save me?" Which God responds, "Well, I sent 3 people to try and rescue you, but you refused every one of them." Last week, we talked about suffering with Jesus. Today, I want to give you 4 hopes that I see in these 8 verses. 4 hopes. The first hope is hope that we will get to heaven in verses 18 through 19. Hope for creation in verses 20 to 21. Hope in the resurrection in verses 22 to 23. And finally, an unseen hope in verses 24 to 25. So, hope that we will get to heaven, verses 18 and 19. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." As we said, as a Christian, you will suffer. It's as much as a part of life as anything. Now, I'm more inclined to go with the King James Version of patience. Patience is usually translated as long suffering, right? Long suffering should be expected. When you're a follower of Christ, you are going to have problems. The world will hate you. It sounds great, right? Sign me up. But there are things that are promised to every believer. Trouble and suffering will come. The world doesn't understand why you want to live differently, why you don't want to just follow the world's way of thinking and living. Whatever you might go through, if it's trials or sufferings, they're a cakewalk compared to what's ahead. It's no comparison to what will be revealed to us once we get to heaven. Verse 18, Paul uses the word "reckon" or "for I consider." This is interpreted as an accounting term to balance or to conclude. When we stand before the Lord God in judgment, it is often referred to as the day of reckoning. We need to consider what will our outcome be when we stand before the King of the universe if we want to get into heaven. Paul said, at this present time. At this present time, remember, he's already been beaten 3 times with Roman rods. He was stoned within an inch of his life. He spent a whole 24 hours shipwrecked out on the sea, floating. Paul, he knew suffering. And he says, at this present time. At this present time, there is hope for you. There is hope for me. There's hope for this world. We are in an age of grace, but it's running out. Salvation is not based on merit, but on Jesus' perfect sacrifice, that as the Lamb of God, He paid the sin debt that we all owed. And we will be revealed as children of God if we have believed in Him. And praise be to God, in future glory, we're going to have new bodies. My knees aren't going to crack every time I bend them. Your back will be better. Your hearing, your eyesight is going to be glorified. Our bodies won't ache. Praise God. I'll be able to read and see without glasses. There's an eager expectation for us. There was an eager expectation for us in having children and even a grandchild. There should be a greater expectation as we draw closer to glory. God, He's given to us the Holy Spirit as a first fruit, a guarantee of what? Of more that is to come in the future. We have a hope that we will get to heaven and that better things are to come. We have the Holy Spirit. It's a deposit in us as what is further to come. It says in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, it says, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." Verse 19, it says, "With earnest expectation, the creation eagerly waits, it hopes for the children of God to be revealed in its release from bondage." In earnest expectation, the creation, or the creature, as it says in the KJV, a creature is something that has been created by its creator. Now, you're not here by happenstance. You're not a mistake. You're not a result of millions and millions of years of evolution. You were created. Even the Declaration of Independence, it states that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are what? Evolved? No, created equal. They're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. The rights and freedoms that we have are gifts. They are gifts not given by an earthly king, but a heavenly one. The Creator of the universe. Again, our Declaration of Independence acknowledges a Creator as the source of the rights that the government is supposed to protect. Now, if only they taught creationism versus evolution in today's schools, you would see a change in purpose, that we're created and not just evolved over millions and millions of years. Every creation waits to see who will go to heaven and who will go to the other place. It waits with eager expectation. Now take a moment. Remember when you were young as a kid. Maybe that was a few years ago. But remember when you couldn't wait for something. Maybe it was Friday. Maybe it was Christmas to open presents. Or maybe it was the 4th of July and you're sitting and you're waiting and you're waiting for the fireworks to start. Creation, it waits with eager longing. Now, what did it mean when Jesus, He commanded the gospel to be preached to every creature? Does this mean that I need to preach the gospel to my cat? Maybe. I mean, my cat likes to scare me, like I said next week. But I believe that All of creation that Paul's talking about here is a personification. If rocks can cry out, if trees can clap their hands, if these inanimate objects can hope, then creation waits and hopes for freedom. We're told in Psalm 19:1 that the heavens declare the glory of God. Nature itself is meant to show the greatness, the magnitude of God. Even those that believe in the Big Bang theory, that there was nothing and then bang, everything appeared. There was a beginning. Remember back in Romans 1:20, we said, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities have been clearly seen, being understood by what was made. Because all of creation was cursed when Adam and Eve sinned. It waits with eager expectation and it hopes. They're waiting for the revelation of God's children. Creation waits with eager expectation for the revealing of the sons of God. Now remember, we said that there is only one begotten, capital Son of God, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. We are all small S's, sons of God, whether you're male or female. When we've been adopted into His family by confessing Jesus is the Lord, by believing in our heart that God has raised Him from the dead, we can be saved. Creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the children of God, for those that will be fully revealed at glorification. Because you and I all know that there are some here, there are some people, they talk Christianese. They talk the Christian language. They know some Bible verses. They may have even been baptized. But the hardest things to hear from God are, depart from me. I never knew you. God will separate the sheep from the goats, from those that have only given lip service to Him and true believers. We must do the will of the Father. These are the true believers and followers of Christ. God will examine everyone's hearts, and we are saved only by grace through Christ. The adoption papers, they have been signed, but we're still in another country. We also wait. Our citizenship has been granted. It's been guaranteed, but it hasn't been fully executed yet. We're given the hope of eternal life, that we will go to heaven when we have confessed and when we've believed that God sent His one and only Son, that we will be revealed as adopted sons and daughters of God. But secondly, as we've talked about, the hope for creation in verses 20 and 21. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. In verse 20, who subjected it? You've got three options, basically. You've got God, you've got Satan, the devil, or you've got man. Well, it was Adam's sin when he sinned. The created world was subjected to futility. Adam essentially signed over his right to rule and gave it to Satan. But God is the one who cursed the ground. God is the one who cursed Satan and subjected the creation. Before Adam sinned, there was no pain. There was no thorns or weeds. There was no pain in childbearing. But now we're all under the curse of sin. God subdued it. He subjected the creation so that one day His Son, Jesus Christ, would rule and reign in a future kingdom free from its curses. A future glory free from corruption, free from death, free from decay. Verse 21 says that creation is in bondage. Man's sin is the reason for thorns and weeds and hard work. And the creation wants freedom. It's frustrated. Creation was frustrated to futility, frustration to a feeling of uselessness, and one that is corrupt, one that has a feeling of chaos and anarchy. Creation is given personification. It waits. And so we see frustration in creation. We see frustration in thunderstorms and hurricanes and in tornadoes. Just imagine if you've been in bondage for over 6,000 plus years. We see the death in animals and in plants. We see death in humans, all because of sin. And evolution is such a joke. It goes against what the Bible says. That sin is the reason for death. And that there was no death before sin. We haven't evolved over millions and millions of years. We can have hope that we can get to heaven. Creation hopes for its release. We hope for a time that we will have resurrected bodies. Thirdly, the hope in the resurrection, verses 22 through 23. Verse 22, the whole of creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Paul says that this world, it's starting to have contractions. It's going into labor again, personifying creation. It also longs for the completion of our salvation. As a mother who's about to go into labor, she's starting to have pain. But after she has the baby, she forgets the pain because now she has a new baby. Whatever trials, whatever difficulties we might go through, we can't always understand it. But it is to teach us eventually about the horror of sin. Even suffering can be used by God to help conform us to the image of Christ Jesus. Because Jesus, He suffered more than anyone. Suffering is a direct result of the fall. That's just the way it is. But God, He can use all things to work together for good for those who love Him. Verse 23 says, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. The full redemption of our bodies will happen at the resurrection. Our future hope as Christians is solid. It is certain for believers. Either Jesus is God and He's coming back or He's not. But He's promised that He would come back. We can have confident assurance that God keeps His promises. We have a solid hope that the fullness of our redemption will happen. But as I said, this will happen at the resurrection. These temporary tents that we live in, they fail us. Our hearts will eventually stop beating. Our corruptible bodies of flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We're told that corruption cannot inherit incorruption. So we must be changed. Just like a seed is planted in the ground, we also will be planted into death and in the ground at death. And if we've trusted Jesus, if we've confessed Him as Lord, we will be resurrected. And so we groan. Some of us groan more than others. Even if you're saved, you groan. We groan because why? Because we have to wait. We have to wait until glorification is fully redeemed. And so the last hope I see is the one that is unseen. Hope that is unseen. Verses 24 and 25. For which we are saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we don't see, We eagerly wait for it with perseverance. The future, that hope that we have as a Christian, hasn't yet fully been revealed to us yet. Colossians 3:4, we're told that when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Let me read to you the parallel passage of this in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 says, "For we know that our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed we have been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared for us this thing is God, who has also given to us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are also confident, knowing that while at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight." We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Even though we groan now, the future glory that we have, that we will have, isn't fully revealed to us yet. It's like when you go to a movie and maybe you haven't seen it before. You haven't read the book. You just have to go to the movie and watch it unfold before your eyes. So it is with life. But God understands all the factors that are going on in your life. He understands the hardship and the trials, but you haven't seen the end yet. We walk by faith and not by sight. The future hope of glory is so much better than this life. In Sunday school, we're going through Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 2:10 says, "For it was fitting for Him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to be made the captain of their salvation, perfect through sufferings." Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, He was already perfect, but He willingly died in our place. He brought salvation to any and all who would believe in Him. He suffered death, and He becomes to us the captain of our salvation. He learned obedience by the things He suffered. He has become the author of our salvation to all who obey Him. Jesus' sacrifice was perfected. He paid for sin. His death completed the job to pay for our sins. So we can have hope even in the unseen. Romans 5:5, it says, Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. There is help. There's a reason that the Holy Spirit is called the Helper, the Advocate. The Holy Spirit, He comes to help us in our weakness, but we must admit that we need help. I know as a man, it's difficult to ask for help. In spiritual matters, though, I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to be a father, a husband, the spiritual head for many. It can be hard. I know I need God's help. And you need God's help. I need His leading, His guiding, His constant filling and outpouring of His Holy Spirit. I don't know how people go through life without the Holy Spirit, without God, with all the headaches, with all the struggles. Because without God's help, I know I'd probably either be dead or in a ditch or something. I know I wouldn't make it. And neither would you. We would fail. We are saved in hope, unseen hope. We walk by faith and not by sight. We've been given the promises of resurrected bodies and sins forgiven. But these are promises to those that have placed their faith in Christ, for those who belong to Christ Jesus. As believers in Jesus, we are given the Holy Spirit, which intercedes for us on our behalf. He intercedes for us with groanings that are too deep for words. Church, that should give us hope. Even if and when you don't pray, someone is praying for you. The Holy Spirit of God. Whatever you go through, suffering, cancer, trials, tribulations, there can be peace. There can be hope and endurance. You can have victory when your faith is grounded in Jesus Christ. And as I said, these promises are for hope for believers that are in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that we can have assurance, knowledge that when we die, we will go to heaven. We can know 100% that we're going to heaven when we die. 1 John 5:13, it says that these things I have written to you who believe in the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. It's not thinking or guessing. We can know. We are to believe in Jesus as the Son of God, that we may know that we have eternal life, and that we continue to believe. The Holy Spirit helps us. After we die, there is a second death for unbelievers in the lake of fire that burns forever. God has made it clear to us in His Word what must be done to avoid this kind of judgment. God has sent to us a Savior, His perfect Son, Jesus the Messiah. God loved us even when we were still sinners. God sent His one and only Son, fully God and fully man, to come and pay the penalty for us. But like any gift, it needs to be received. God doesn't force Himself onto anyone, but He does offer the free gift of salvation to any that would believe. God sent His one and only Son for us. Jesus is Lord. He is God in the flesh. He came, He lived, He died, and He rose again. And when we've trusted and when we believed in Jesus as our one and only payment to get into heaven, we don't have to worry. We can be happy. We can have joy even in times of suffering. And if you maybe haven't suffered that much, it will come, don't worry. But these words are written for an encouragement for us to be ready, to be prepared, and to overcome despair and even unbelief. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17 says, "Therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory." There can be hope that when we close our eyes in this life, that when we open them after we've taken our last breath, that the next moment we open our eyes after death, we will see Jesus glorified, resurrected, when our faith will finally become sight. The end of verse 25 says that we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Wait for God with patience. He will come. We don't know when, But as we will see in Romans 13:11, do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. This is God's word, and I say thanks be to God for it. Let's pray. Oh Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the promises that we have in your word, that you have revealed to us what is good and what is right. And your words are clear. Everyone will have to give an account before you. Lord, may we be filled with all joy in believing that we may abound by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you are the God of hope. And we know that hope that is in you is solid. Your word says you don't lie and you keep your promises. Help us to know your presence. May we be drawn to repentance and give us increasing faith. Help any unbelief, Lord. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, our Savior, who gives us hope. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.